Hello, Castaway Studios. Derek speaking.
Derek, all hell's broken loose.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure what's we've got. Luna's crook. The point is, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get there. I might have to phone it in or something.
Yeah.
There's been an outbreak this morning, and she's been banging her head on the wall. She's banged her head 3 times on the wall, so we don't know if she's. We don't know if the screaming's because of a middle ear infection that she's just had, or whether it's just from repeatedly banging her head on the wall.
Oh, poor love. Hey, don't worry about it. Kids come first. Do you want to? Have you got time for a bit of a chat now?
Yeah, for a second.
Yeah,
before
sweet the as. And if you come out, in, you come in. Yeah, no, it's how it goes. This is fatherhood for you. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Bad daddy, you're a naughty boy.
These days, fatherhood is everywhere. You can't get away from it. Not that blokes haven't tried. If you're not a father, you've got a father. You're a son of a dad or a daughter of a bloke. But either way, being a dad is no picnic. The fear, the anger, the confusion and, well, the love, of course. Derek Myers and Dan Lee, together with their special guests, are here to share the highs and lows, the joys and the agony of being a modern dad. But most of all, to let you know that you're not alone.
Oh, was that just the longest ever minute you've ever had in your life?
So let me tell you what's happening, right? So, so Missy's got a she's doing this score, this soundtrack for a TV show, and so she's got to record. It's like you never quite know when she's going to need to record, but she's got to record this morning.
Yeah.
And so we're just – you can't have babies banging their heads and screaming. This is why we need a studio. But I think she might have just put Luna to sleep. I think she might. There's no screaming now, so it's possible I'll get away.
Yeah. Look,
Sammy's trying to make a smoothie with the blender. I just went just before when I spoke to you. I went into the pantry and he's in there and he's got the and there's this green liquid. God knows what it is with bananas floating in it like turds.
Oh no!
He's trying to lift it up and put it on the blender thing, and I'm like, "Fucking hell! Hang on a minute,
watch it, because they want to come down and unjam it."
I know. It's a nightmare.
The disasterizing Uncle Derek is freaking out.
No, I was watching him, but you know, it's like, "Fucking hell!" Like the last thing you need is the other one. Trying to make a smoothie with the blender without the lid on.
I'd say stick around. Let's face it,
doing
a film score or coming along and doing a not-for-profit podcast. You have to balance it off.
Let's see. It depends whether Granny comes over or not. We're just waiting. If a few people arrive in the next 10 minutes, then I'll be fine.
Yes. Yeah, but look, see how you go. Jaden's coming in today. He's just down the road. And it's going
to
be awesome. And if you come in the middle of that or you ring back up, whatever, let's just play it by
ear. Right.
Kids first.
Yeah. Hey, man, can I just give you an update on my thing the other day?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I was telling you that story about how I was washing the shit out of some underpants, but I forgot that I'd broken the pipe underneath the sink and then all the shit flowed out onto my Dunlop volleys. Well, I went and got a new sort
pair
of S bend,
and
a new pipe for underneath, right?
Yeah.
So I attached it, and I attached the washing machine pipe to the little outlet thing that's connected to that.
Yeah, I know it. The little prong.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, exactly. Now, what I didn't know, I'll tell you what happened first. So the washing machine it stops working, and it's blocked. It's like it's saying that it can't drain. And I thought, what the hell's going on? And the guy had said to us, the washing machine's probably on its last legs anyway, so I just bought a new one. And then they came and installed the new one and took the other one away.
Yeah.
Then the new one wasn't working. It wouldn't drain. So I was ringing the washing machine company saying, what's going on here? And they were sending out a technician to fix it, right? And then I'm messing around with it, trying to thinking, what the hell is going on here? So I take the new pipe that I put on off, and I look, and where the washing machine outlet goes in, it's sealed.
Oh.
You don't, and so I go to Bunnings, and I say to them,
yes, because there's two choices. You've got a choice of not using it and drilling it out when you want to use it.
That's right. Exactly. So rather than the company making one that has the connector with a hole in it. They've just got one with the connector and then it's sealed until you drill it out.
But I'm with them, Dan. I really, that touches on my own personal story recently because I wish my sink had one of those because it doesn't have that prong because then I could just drill it out and put the dishwasher in.
Right. So instead you have to buy – so it's the difference for you of buying a whole new pipe compared to just drilling it out.
Which I can't do because it's ancient metal stuff in my house from 1954, right? So it means redoing everything.
I threw out a washing machine that wasn't broken and bought a new washing machine.
Oh, no, of course.
Because I paid them to take it away because I was like, this is going to end up on they said to me, do you want us to get rid of it? And I said, this will end up on my nature strip if I don't. It's like $30 and they take it away. And I thought, bugger it, it'll hang around. So then I had to ring them back and say, because the guy at Bunnings goes, yeah, you've got to drill it out, mate. And I was like, what? Well, look, who would you? Anyway, it's working now.
Well, you know, this is the sort of stuff that in 10 years' time, you're teaching Sammy, maybe 20 years' time, 30 years, whatever. And you're not really admitting that you're a dopey fool and stuffed it up.
But how could I have known, right? Because you see it's got the little pipe adapter and you just go, well, of course, there's a pipe there. Every time I buy something with a pipe, I don't check to make sure it's sealed. I go, presumably it's a pipe because it's a fucking pipe. I mean, I get now why they do it, but how I could have even known that is beyond me. And they didn't tell me when I bought it. The first time. So that cost me $1,000, that lesson.
Fuck's
sake. To learn that the thing is.
I'm trying to internally go, what would I have done? What would I have
done? Man, it took me 2 days.
You know what? I would have picked up the fucking thing at Bunnings, put my mouth on the little pipe and tried to make a tune. I would have saved $1,000 by being a dickhead and doing what my dad has always done.
But the guy
and try to play a fucking trumpet on anything.
Yeah, true.
Saves the day.
I mean, fuck, I couldn't believe it.
Well, you know someone out there's got a pretty cool washing machine for nothing.
Well, it may be, unless they just dump it.
No.
I don't know.
They don't. They never dump it. They know Drongo's in Elwood. You know, they know they just got to pull a baby sock out of the pump.
What are you saying? What are you saying, Derek? Are you saying that
everyone's a drunkard?
I live in a suburb where men are damp-eyed Nancy boys and they don't know how to be handy men.
I'm saying that no. Well, yes. But what I'm saying is I had the same situation. The washing machine wasn't working. I went, oh, fuck. And my instinct was call the man. Call the man. And I went, oh, come on, Derek. Fucking come on.
Well, see, I should have called the man
and
now.
And I pulled the back off the thing, unplugged it, pulled the back off the thing and found a hose, unplugged the hose, and, of course, then about 400 litres of water attacked me.
Right, right. Of course.
And then, but then I did. I found a baby sock. No, it was it was a gum leaf. A gum leaf, just stopping the pump from working.
Yep. Well, that's what it usually is, and I've had to do that before, you know. But yeah.
Oh well, look, you weren't to know.
A comedy of errors, mate. Two days shame. It was.
No shame. Oh, maybe a little bit. Minimum shame. Minimum shame.
But I was just like the guy at Bunnings. I was like, but how could I know that? How could I possibly know that? And then he had to, because you know how at Bunnings they all have to be super nice.
Yeah.
Like, because he realised that he said it like this. Well, you've got to drill it out. And then it made me feel like an idiot.
Yeah,
he suddenly backtracked and went, oh, but, you know, like, yes, it's a little bit confusing, isn't it?
Mate, you are in the staff meeting. There's no doubt about it, Dan. This podcast is not the end of this story.
well, I managed not to lose my cool with anyone because it's ultimately, well, it's just
as well because, later on you'd talk to a few blokes and they'd go, You what?
Do you know how many of these technicians come out to little old ladies' houses and just plug shit in?
Yep.
Loads and loads, $100 to come out and plug it in.
Yep.
And don't put toast in the VCR.
Yeah, but people understand Apple Macintoshes, they think the same. You know that people come around and sort people's antivirus out.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Once you know, it seems silly that someone else does it. People in the Vespa community find it weird that I have customers that need their tyres changed.
Yeah.
That need someone else to do it. It's like, true. Wow, you can do it yourself. You don't get it. You might just not want to.
Yeah, well, that's true too. Yeah.
But that's all a right, good, man. Look, that's a good story. In a minute, I'm going to go and get Jaden.
All right, look, I'll see if I can get in the car. Otherwise, I'll try and call in later, but we'll talk. All right. Better go.
All right. See you, mate.
See you, mate.
Hey, back to Hang On To Your Hat, and now I've got Jaden in the studio. Welcome aboard, Jaden.
How you going?
To feel you're all in, I was sitting there in the local cafe and having a bit of a yarn with Jaden about stuff. And as we all know, podcasters are like vegans. They'll tell you. There's no doubt about it. So I was telling him about the podcast. He goes, yeah, I'm a dad, and shared a couple of stories, and I went, oh, come on the show. This is the kind of, the range of diversity we're looking for. Yeah. We're up to episode 26 or 27 or something now.
Right.
And, you start with a lot of people that are similar to you, and then our goal is to start. All right, so we've had crocodile hunters and pearl divers and stuff like that, but
Have you had a bogan?
I haven't had I would say skater.
Skater. Yeah, skateboarding bogan. Easy.
So probably just kick off with the expectation that Danny will ring because he's got some chronic FOMO and he'll ring and cut us off at some stage.
He's not missing out on much, I tell you.
So what's the story? Where did you come from? How did you become a dad?
No mistakes, just happy accidents.
Yeah.
I was very young. I was 17 when I found out it was all going down.
Wow.
Pretty gnarly. It was just a big kick in the face, really. And at the start, I was like, we can't, there's no way. It's not even possible. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Were you in a long relationship?
I was like 3 years, very teenage,
rocky.
Like, we pretty much weren't even together when it all went down.
Hmm.
Just young, dumb. And then, and then after that, I was like, well, we can't do that. And she said, well, you can piss off and I can just do it. And I said, well, obviously I'm not going to do that.
And then
6 years, he's six now. So it's almost 7 years later.
That's incredible. It's
crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I do recall a taste of what that feeling might have worked into.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh, I'm late or whatever, when you're
I
was 16.
Yeah.
There was that kind of and then you start your mind just starts rolling. What does that mean?
Boom, boom,
you don't
boom.
Even know what's coming.
Yeah.
You don't even know how good or shit you're gonna
at
be.
At the time, that's an end of one life kind of thing. And at the time that felt like such it was an end. Like, it was daunting. It was like, oh crap, I'm not gonna be able to get to be a kid anymore.
Mm.
But now I've Brooklyn six, I've realized with him I get to be a kid as long as I bloody want. That's the best part.
Well, you're still a kid now.
Yeah, exactly.
Compared to me.
That's what I mean. I still get so but good. I can just carry it on. I can be Peter Pan. Like
yeah.
We can go out doing boy stuff all the bloody time.
Yeah.
Which is the best thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously it's tough.
Yeah.
Like there's some hard yards.
Yeah,
coming,
yeah.
But there's one little thing that I do, and envy's okay, I think, at some stage. Like, I like the way I've rolled, do everything, be too exhausted to do anything else, and then have kids.
Yeah, right? yeah.
And then find out you're too exhausted to do that. But you have to. So I'm kind of more the, you only do things if you have to. And so that's cool. I'm cool with that. But it is enviable when you see this kind of interaction,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you see dudes, 10 years ago when dudes I knew were going, oh, I'm a granddad. You go, the fuck?
Yeah.
And they're having a ball with these kids.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's amazing. So that's pretty exciting. So where were you?
So I was living in Seymour. That's my hometown.
Yeah.
So I grew up there until I was born in Melbourne. Grew up in Seymour until I was six. Moved to Sunshine Coast.
Oh.
And then moved back to Seymour. We're going to be moving up to Cairns. Got stuck in accommodation. I went to crap. So I moved back down here.
Yeah.
All the floods and stuff were happening in Cairns at that time. So then, yeah, and then been in Melbourne for 5 years because me and Brooklyn's mum obviously separated.
Yeah.
But there's just nothing creative or anything going on in Seymour. Just a small kind of bigotry town. Yeah,
so you'd be when you found out you were having the baby.
Yep.
You're obviously the baby mum.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
The baby mama.
The mother of the baby mama. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at the internet. Yeah. Is from Seymour.
Yeah. Yeah. She's from Seymour.
Yeah. But did she go on these adventures with you to Sunshine Coast and all that? Ah,
no. So we met when we were, I think we got together when we were probably 14.
Yep.
14 and yeah, together until we were 17. Yeah.
So what was it like in Seymour? Was it? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't want to go bagging out any towns or anything like that.
Yeah.
But is it?
Oh, it's actually, yeah, shocking. Oh, really? like it's pretty bad. Like, there's actually a documentary on Seymour called Victoria's Tidiest Town because it was, I think, 2001, 2 and 3 or something
tidiest.
Like that. Tidiest? Tidiest for the cleanest town.
Oh.
But now.
Different kind of clean.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They've, they've kind of made the documentary and called it that because it's nothing but the complete opposite. It's just shocking. Like like a small kind of dead end.
Is it the one with the big train? Town.
Yeah, we got a big train there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the big black train. Yeah, but it's just there's not a lot going on there at all. And then people get bored, people get fucked up, and that's it really. Hey.
So was it literally a like a big drug fest, like
it's pretty gnarly down there. A lot of people, just even the people you least expect, I guess, with anywhere, it's kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I think just because it's so small, tight knit, I think there's a population of like probably 15 or 16,000 or something. Oh, right. Or that was probably last time I checked, which is years ago. So it's like you just know everything about everyone, and it's way too easy to fall into the wrong. Yeah. Traps and stuff like that.
And it is amazing. I know through experience that if you're near something long enough, it's the norm.
Yeah, exactly. I found
it amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I went from here to England with certain kind of rules, I guess, of what I would do and what I wouldn't do and what was weird and what wasn't, what was from the 60s and what wasn't. And then within, 3 months in London, there was a whole different level of what was normal.
Yeah, exactly normal right. Well, I think that's the thing. Like it's just there's two different ways I see it, especially with raising Brooklyn.
Yeah.
In the country, it's cool. You do country things. You kind of go out. Like we go camping nearly every weekend and stuff like that. And it's cool. We make fires, chop wood, go out and play outside all the time.
Yeah.
But also being surrounded by them people that are always in the same mindset and similar mindset, it's just too easy to fall into like just being so small-minded and it's easy for people out there to be racist or big like bigots and stuff like that, and it's just crazy.
There's no influence.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. There's no creative influence.
How does that make you feel about your son being raised
there? Well, at the same time, that's the reason I've been working my ass off up here in Melbourne, so I could make something of myself to take back to Seymour, and I'm moving there at the end of the year to do so. It's just so I can take him to school every day and get that creative flowing and teach him he can cast his own shadow.
Mm.
He doesn't have to follow in the path of anyone else's.
Awesome. That's an awesome philosophy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would take a little while to realize if you're kind of a gnarly, youth.
Yeah, yeah.
A gnarly youth. Sometimes it takes many, many years, and some people don't make the transition.
Yeah, exactly.
To realizing your town isn't all bored youth, smoking crack or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
They're grown-ups in the town.
Yeah.
And they're the ones running the show.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the enemy.
Yeah.
For a while, and then you gradually become them, and some don't make it across.
Yeah,
some,
yeah.
You know, so
yeah, exactly
kind of
right.
Polarizes people when they get to that, that G getting into adulthood kind of vibe.
Yeah,
definitely. But having a kid, that probably did some kind of fast-tracking for you, I'd imagine.
Well, oh, more than fast-tracking. To be honest, before he was born was the period where I was just kind of off the rails and where I fell into all them places that were considered the norm there. And then I, as soon as he was born, just snapped straight out of it, went completely sober for a whole year. And then I had him like every single day. And then kind of once I moved to Melbourne, I had him week on, week off, because that was before he was at kinder and school and stuff like that. And then, and then when I had that week on, week off, it was easy for me to have a bit of that youthful side, especially living in Melbourne. As socializing, as you'd call it, can be going out and getting rancid on a Friday, Saturday night kind of thing. So it was cool. I was, I guess, lucky in that sense that I still got to, and that was a good way to find myself and realize that's not what I want to kind of keep doing, but also get it out my system a bit, I guess. Hey, and then 1 week full dad mode, parks every single day and stuff like that, which is awesome.
That's, sweet relief sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's, I've been like sober since Australia Day to just get like, again, completely cold turkey, just so I can get my business side of things sorted, move up there closer to him. And it's cool. I still go out party, but I just can remember it. And I have meaningful conversations with people. And then I go home to my little dude. And then we just go camp. And now just pick him up. We go somewhere every weekend or do something creative if the weather's gone a cactus. And, yeah, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, what? Where would you, where do you think you'd be now if you'd tarped up that day?
Oh, man. I can't even imagine, but I don't want to even imagine anything, to be honest. That's the best thing. It's like I have just come to the conclusion. It's just always been there, but, like, I'm a dad, and that's what I'm fucking the most stoked on. Like, there's nothing else I'd rather be. I'm like, this is perfect. Like,
and who would have known?
Yeah, exactly right.
Something that gets thrown at you from the universe.
Yeah, to go from the start of it being like it's the end of the world.
Yeah,
to it's the fucking beginning. It's just like amazing.
As the French say, a raison d'être. You know, a reason to be.
Yeah, awesome. I like
that. That's fantastic. And so you're gunning to start to get this business up and running, and it's going well.
Yeah, I'm watching it. Yeah, yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I've got my my skate brand, Yenna. I've got that, and I'm also pushing to get my screen printing business in my hometown at the end of the year, so I can print all my mate's stuff.
Awesome.
Be closer to my dude, even if I work 3 days a week and then have the rest to gallivant and do things with him over the bloody moon, hey. But it's going really good. It's just like the rednecks have got the yeehaw and us bogans have got the yeena.
Yeah, no. Nah, just to fill everyone in, it's yeah as in Y-E-A-H.
And nah as
and
in gnarly.
Nah, but using G-N-A-R as in gnarly.
Yeah.
So, you know that yeah, nah.
Yeah, as the Americans, nar, they use the G in there. Nar. It's nar, dude. Cowbunga.
Love it.
So, yeah.
So, look out for yeah, nah, because that's... And I ordered one for my 11-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't wait.
On its way.
I told him he was going to get the latest, coolest, no one else can get shit.
Sick, he's like, well, he pretty much is, because I'm just ordering 12s for our dudes, really, because my dudes are 12 as well. So, perfect.
Yeah. So they're going to be pretty good. Self-employment is going to be fairly important when would you call it, we've had this conversation before, with different people, single dadding.
Yeah, yeah.
But when there's a mum, what do you call it? Like, it's co-parenting, isn't it?
It's co-parenting. Yeah, yeah, that's very.
So back in the hometown, you reckon that'll
give
her some.
Well, we're really good friends now. Yeah. Like, there was a time where Brooklyn had a stepmum that I was with until last year.
Yeah.
And that was from a few months after he was born, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they didn't meet for a while because of. Like the respect thing and make sure I don't want to bring anyone around Brooklyn that's not going to be in it for a long haul. And I don't think anyone could actually understand what it would entail to kind of be with me is to take on my son as well.
Yeah.
It was a bit rocky at the start, but I just learned how to diffuse things real quick.
Yeah.
And then but now we're really good friends. Like the other week, I was around at their house having a barbie with the dude. Like, and she's Brooklyn's mum has another child now. So her new bloke, and he's a good dude, and we all just got along okay.
So he's got a half brother, I suppose, or half.
Yeah, he's got a half brother. Yeah. That's so great. It's awesome, and it's so good to see. At start, he was a bit jealous and stuff, just because he'd always first child. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was always doing his own things, but now, like, he's such a kind-hearted, bloody awesome dude, and just loves sharing, and so that's good.
We were talking last week with Hugh about having the second one and that kind of hairy time when you're going, if you've got a 3-year-old or something or a 2-year-old, I think I had a 2-year-old, two and a half when the next one comes. And you're just kind of thinking, are they going to
crazy shit? You're going to have to keep an eye on one of them to make sure they haven't got the pillow on the other
one. We do have a quote. I think Tom used to say, jump on the baby.
Jump on the
baby. And you go, nah, mate. Nah.
Oh, no.
Don't be doing that. But they're pretty cool. Like, they're humans.
Yeah, you know, exactly humans right.
From the time they're born.
Yeah.
So you hope.
It's crazy. Yeah. Otherwise you're barking they're up the wrong cute. Tree, hey.
But yeah, but I suppose in a co-parenting situation, then he's 100%. You've only got the one.
Yeah.
I've only got one. So he's
got the hear no, see no, speak no.
Yeah. So that's he's only got half that experience.
Exactly.
Getting a new one. That's great. Yeah.
But no, it's cool. I know I'm young and it's kind of.
How old are you?
I'm only 24.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm 24. But I know I'm young and it sounds stupid, but I've kind of, especially from Brooklyn's mum, straight into another relationship. There's eight years I was in a relationship.
Yep.
Only last year I found out what it's like to be single. Mm. And it's fucking crazy.
Talk me through it. What's it like?
there you go. Yeah. Or as an adult, I should say. I'd never been single as an adult until last year. And it was just, mind-boggling. It was like, fuck, especially with a little dude.
Mm.
Like, man, on my Tinder and stuff like that, I was like, do I put that on there?
Yeah.
And I've come to the conclusion, no, I fucking don't, because I don't want anyone kind of being like, oh, he's so cute, I can't wait to meet him. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm look, darling, and it's not happening. Exactly. It's like, no way. That's kind of not like, it's not like I hide it or anything like that, but it's just not something I put on there as a thing.
You can find out later.
Yeah, exactly right.
So, I am amazed, and I I wish Dan would ring right now, but I love this online dating thing. I missed it. It rolled up. It was just starting. It was just starting. I called him with my psychic senses.
Uh-huh.
He was trying to text me. There was one call. What was it called? It was just being born when I was single.
Yeah. Okay.
But I was cool. You know, like I wasn't lonely, if you like.
I
was quite active. Everything was cool.
Yeah.
But at the time it was like for desperate kind of nerds or whatever.
It was
like this, and I remember saying, and I go on about this a bit, but I just went, this is the future. When I was freaking 19, you had to go to a fucking horrible nightclub, inhale fucking smoke and disgusting shit, drink horrible booze, get yourself rat-assed and to just meet people.
You
know, and hopefully have a pash on the last song at 3 a.m. right? It was diabolical. And as I say, and you were almost guaranteed to get some piss artist for a girlfriend.
I
say that one to wind up my
exactly.
wife.
Exactly.
but now I just saw it. I just went, this is fucking it.
Because
ballroom dancing or going to dinner dances and shit, there was always a system.
Yeah, exactly.
BNS ball, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
There was always a system
mm-hmm.
for meeting people. That was the point of society. Hook them up.
Yeah.
And then there was just like grog and people stopped dancing, you know, for a while. Raves kind of kicked in and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I saw this online dating thing as being like the future.
Yeah.
I wanted to have a
You don't need your ease or anything to rave to get your endorphins up. You just got their notifications. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Saves you a lot of money.
It's crazy. I think that's dopamine issues. I always kind of ramble on and get to another subject and go back to the other one. But I think that's what I was getting at before. Like I, at the moment, feel fulfilled enough to not have to have another one down the track.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even another partner, because it's like, I've got my dude. Mm. That's the best thing. And it's like, we can go away every weekend. Like I've been living in my van for, because I'm working in Melbourne and pick him up every weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Like nearly 2 years.
Mm.
And it's just incredible. Like I don't want anything to have to come in between that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this weekend I was meant to go on a skate trip with the boys. As soon as there was first sign of bad weather, it's probably not even going to because it's Melbourne's bipolar bloody weather. I'm like, oh, sick. I'll just go get my dude. And now me and the dude are just going to go do some arts and crafts this weekend.
That's so awesome. Just
pack it in. Yeah, so it's awesome.
And that I've talked a bit with various people about sacrifices and moving and doing different things for the kids and sort of really getting into how much is for the kids and how much is your plan.
Yeah.
And you kind of sell it as for the kids or whatever. But, you know, living in your van when you're in Melbourne in order to just lock onto a goal.
Yeah.
You know, when I was talking the other day, you had some pretty – it was pretty locked on.
Yeah,
this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all exciting, youthful stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes money and is, you know, is non-destructive. Future
for everybody. It sounds exactly. Awesome. Yeah, well, that's the thing, like I said before about Brooklyn casting his own shadow. I think I've been very fortunate because when I was younger, my biological father wasn't there. Then I had a stepdad who ended up pissing off when I was like 12 or something like that. And at the time, it kind of like that seemed pretty heavy to me, I guess. And I had a lot of other shit going on.
Yeah.
But it was like, but now I look back, I'm so stoked on that. Like I've kind of retouched base. So my stepdad was my actual two sisters' father, and he even took off on them. And it's like...
So they're younger, yeah.
So yeah, they're younger.
Yeah.
And it's like I've just recently touched base with him and he's so stoked I'm doing my own thing and stuff like that. It's like he's proud of me. But it's like, man, I could never even imagine fucking off on my kids ever. Not like...
It's very hard to empathize.
Yeah.
It's very hard. I mean, you want to.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more... to your relationship forever. Like you're stuck with them forever for various family reasons and biological reasons. But it's very hard to understand.
Yeah, and I try to look at the bigger picture and, like, understand. But it's like, at the end of the day, that's not a thing for me. But when I retouch base with him, like, and he's a good bloke, and I've got some really fucking good memories. I've got shit memories as a teenager as well. So a lot of them are my own little testosterone kicking in, you know what I mean? But like I recently touched, and when I first touched base with him, he had something like fuck off Islam or something on his wall that I could see. I could only see post.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I'm stoked that I could, because that's something I could have been if he stuck around, because I didn't get to cast my own shadow, you know what I mean? Yeah. And make my own mind up on things. And it's just, so I'm stoked in that aspect. But to also teach, you can cast your own shadow, and as well as teach kindheartedness and just life, like things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the best thing. Hey.
From what I'm gathering today, you probably wouldn't have grown up hating Islam if you were influenced. You probably would have grown up engaging in a lot more battles and probably had a rough time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just doing what's right. It seems, but things getting away from that influence is positive.
So many roads that could have been taken.
Yeah.
And I've just come to the, I haven't come to the realization, but I was talking with a mate the other day. I said something to my boss that is just a common life thing to me, and people just go, whoa. Like, fuck, you have to deal with that as a kid kind of thing. It's and I don't think it's gnarly, but to people like maybe in the city or and like people that haven't had to deal with that small country town thing, just like, oh, fucking hell. Like, and I was like, oh, actually I should refrain.
Yeah.
Like try to be careful of what I like put on people. Yeah, because yeah, exactly, yeah, right. And it's to me, I can laugh about the kind of small stuff, but it's like, but that's what's for my little bloke in Seymour, and that's the whole reason I'm going back there.
Yeah, you wonder for every one bloke that it builds into someone who gets woke or whatever.
Yeah,
pretty early
because
of all this experience.
Yeah,
there must be another 99 that get broken.
Exactly, you know, right.
Just don't come out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think going back to Seymour, doing the whole country thing with him as he's younger, and then kind of maybe taking the journey that I've taken, come to the city, meet very open-minded people, still small-minded in some aspects, but it's just two different complete worlds. And just to have a bit of both worlds and choose your own path for each is just the best thing. So I think later on I'll just let Brooklyn, as soon as he's 18 or whatever, let him throw a dart at a map on the world and we'll just go piss off and
be fucking grouse.
Build a van over there or something, man. You know what I mean?
There, being able to do that. Oh my God, that's Danny ringing.
Hey.
Let's kind of. Hey, Dan.
Hi.
Hey, mate.
How you going?
Yeah, good. We're having a great time here.
Are you? Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
It's all going well. So disappointing I couldn't get there, but I thought I could at least make an appearance.
So Jaden's here. Say good day.
Verbally. Hey, Jaden, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good. So, where are we up to?
Hold fast. I'll just fill you in on everything we've said.
Yeah.
You won't be able to do that.
No, I should have rung earlier.
No, I was just no, you can just jump in on here. I was just about to celebrate. What's the word for when you're – Jaden is – when he's in Melbourne working, he lives in his van.
Right.
Right. So, excites me for reasons I'll tell you.
Me too, don't worry. Yeah.
I love the concept. I love it. But your choice of van, mate.
Oh, my town ace.
It's probably one of the smallest vans you can get.
Yeah, but it's greenhouse. I get to park wherever I want. Like, the other day, my mates were talking about this idea I've got, and like, fuck, like, you could have made it with this idea.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can have your own place in no time. And I'm like, man. I'll buy my mum and that a house. Imagine the size of the fucking van I can get.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Best thing. That's I can get a massive van and park it in my mum's house and then drive wherever I want.
Is a town ace like a high ace but smaller?
Yeah.
It's what I've got, Dan, now.
Oh, right.
It's tiny.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, mine's an older one. High ace.
Yeah.
And then got me dad's town ace because he can't.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to drive anymore. So I got his town ace, and it does feel like a go-kart.
It's a little shoebox. Yeah, it is. But I've jammed everything in there. Like, I've got – I built it all myself, got a kitchen under my bed, I got a fridge, I got a Waco, got the solar panel.
Wow.
I got a shower on the side of it, awning. Got some
but where
nice...
do you live when you're not living in the van?
Oh, I'm always in the van, but I'm in the van so I can go pick my little bloke up every weekend and we can just piss off camping or head somewhere different, go up the beach or whatever.
He'd love that, right?
Oh, man.
In the van?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's unreal. And I've got a single bed in there and then I've got some drawers and then I've got enough room for half a person. So it's a 1.5 person sleeping operation, which is perfect because he's 6. But that's why I need a bigger van soon because he's bloody getting huge.
Might be part of the reason why you're not interested in the relationship right now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Just let me
automatic
get a
adventure, though.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
Derek, did you bring up my mate in WA with the house truck?
No, but this is the time to do it.
Yeah, this mate of mine, I did a podcast with him, Jaden, where he was talking about getting all his kids in he got a big old truck and him and his wife built a sort of house on the back of it. So it's about the size of a bathroom, you know.
Yep.
And then they had a kid. Because they're traveling musicians.
Yep.
So they were just traveling around. He was just running through with me how they did it all. It's like Tetris, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, having the kid in there. But then they decided to have another kid and they went to have the ultrasound and it was twins.
Oh.
And they were excited, but they were like, fuck, how are we going to fit them in this car? And they have, and they still live in it.
If there's a will, there's a way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I loved it when Dan said to him, so hang on, left the hospital with your new babies and took them to the truck. He goes, yeah, of course. That was our home. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you could hear Dan's mind going, oh, I see. That That's home.
Yeah, yeah. And it's crazy to think, like, that's a me and my mates always just hang piss on me, like, about just being homeless. But I always just come through the same. I'm houseless, not homeless. So anything. Yeah. I got my little cozy home, and it's just
Well, and there's a simplification here, right? So there's certain stresses that perhaps go away as a result of simplifying your life into that just what you need, just the essentials.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Right. It's so crazy. Like, I can't imagine ever having a big house or big anything like that. And I think that's my goal now that I've done that, because the van has taught me so many life lessons. It's bloody unbelievable. It was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life to move in a van. Before
it seems impossible, but until you do it and then adapt, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, before that, I barely knew how to light a bloody fire. But obviously, as I said before, if there's a will, there's a way. Like, I had lit fires and stuff like that, but no, like, nothing behind it. Or the other day I went camping and we were on a hill and there was this massive log. It would have been like it was a whole tree pretty much cut down just to the trunk of it. And it was probably a couple of hundred kilos. And I just was like, well, that would be a perfect seat to have next to the fire. So I rolled it down, but was putting rocks so then it didn't crush anyone at the bottom. And everyone's looking at me like, man, what is he doing? And I'm moving this massive tree trunk by myself, making sure everyone's out of the way. Got it next to the fire and everyone's just like, that is just one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen. And it's like, it's because I'm stupid enough to try things in the first place that I get it done.
Yeah, and you feel good.
Yeah,
you feel
yeah.
good about having achieved stuff like that.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But you think being social stigma is a huge part of the whole, you know, how you said your friends call you homeless and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing. Like, sleeping in your car.
Yeah.
They haven't got, like, you just say that.
Yeah.
And to the grown-ups, you know.
Yeah,
it simply would create an instant kind of, you know, opinion, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
That can't see the kid in Seymour, goal, the business that you're running,
the
achievements that you're going to get to by working your guts out and not blowing it on living in an apartment and
carrying on
like a pork chop
and
coming back with nothing.
Before I forget too, if you go on YouTube, there's a web series called Tiny Houses or something.
Yeah.
Do you know? But there's another one too that's like, maybe it is Tiny Houses. It's a Kiwi thing. And they've got house cars, people that have built tiny, tiny wooden houses onto the back of even sedans and stuff, trucks, and it's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
That shit. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I lived in a combi. I moved into a 1974 combi bus, right? And I had a lot of shit. It's like, there's a lot of stories that came out of me getting into that, fitting my shit into that, because I'm a maximalist.
Maximalist. I like that one.
No doubt.
Cool.
And it was hard work. I was on the trading post. Like, I was hours on the phone to the trading post putting ads in.
Yeah.
And that led me to that whole Steve Vizard thing, but that's another story. But I had to get rid of all sorts of things, surfboards, stereos, beds.
Yeah.
And I was living in my combi, but I was dossing, having a little luxury night at my brother's flat in Hawthorne. And I went out one morning. And the fucking combi wasn't there.
Oh, that's right. Tell me, broad day.
It's so fucked up. Hey. It's so fucked up when it's your home. It's such a different thing.
Yeah.
Got
some security going on. Yeah.
Touch wood, it hasn't happened to me yet. But I actually, I better not say it online, but my locks on my van are questionable. they're already questionable because it's an old rig, and that's why I actually unhooked them. So then if anyone tried to pop my locks and just give it a tug, they couldn't get in. And surely, I think it was 2 weeks after I had done that, I went for dinner in St. Kilda with some friends, came back to the van and went to put my key in. And, in my back one, I went to put my key in, opened it. And as I opened my front doors, they were unhooked. The locks just fell straight in the doors.
Oh, fuck.
So someone had tried to pop him,
and
then they'd kind of fell out to the outside, and they've put him back in nicely.
All right.
And they've bent the metal, but they weren't smart enough to push down on the little thing. And then I ended up catching the dude. As soon as I seen that, I was like, man, I've only been at dinner for like half an hour, he's 40 around. Minutes. Oh, he's around. And I seen this old frail junky dude. And I started chasing him and he hid. And then I ended up getting my board out and skating down St. Kilda and I found him. He's got his hands tucked up with heaps of like Gillette razor blades and stuff like that.
Oh.
And he was just this old frail junkie. Oh. And I was just like, just gave him a spray
because
that's all that was going to happen anyway. But even if he came back at me with anything, he would have turned to bloody dust. Hey, it was just like, just gave him a spray, gave him a scare.
It's pretty hard, isn't it?
But he would be out there doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking.
So how old's your son?
Brooklyn 6.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're a little bit ahead of me there. And has it been good? Like generally, have you?
Everything's like over the moon. Like I'm so the expression I use with my friends and anyone that asks how I'm going, I'm just honestly stoked. Just stoked on life. Stoked with my dude. Yeah. I've just honestly found a little thing to allow myself to be like stress free and happy. And I feel like I found that early. And I said to one of my friends the other day, I think I've just found how to be happy all the time. Rather than work to being happy. And that's, I feel like I can just, with this positive thought train, just ride that for the rest of my life and always find a way to be stoked. The dude's the biggest part of it. And they just kind of like, you can't say that. And I was like, well, I honestly think I can at the moment. I guess that could change. But with this thought, when that comes across, I can flip that around. And just comes down to Brooklyn. And he's just,
It's that generational turning too. Like do you think this whole process and feeling is filling a gap, not filling a gap for you, but realizing, if I'm going to be a father, you might not have to do it sort of at the forefront of your mind, if you like, but subconsciously, you're just going, all right, I can't do that shit. That happened to me. Dan, I'll fill you in later on, but Jaden, you didn't know your biological father.
I know who he is. Yeah. I know who he is. Yeah. He just didn't stick around. I think my mum and him were they knew each other and they were just a bit of a fling.
Yeah.
But
that's reasonable.
So you're changing the story. Going forward. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
The kids are a great invitation to adjust your outlook.
Yeah.
And, and if you can, especially if you've been able to simplify your life. I mean, I was listening to your van thing and a lot of our stress and confusion just comes out of all the crap in our lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Seriously, there's a lot of – and because kids will accumulate shit too.
Yeah.
And just the more stuff you acquire, the more there's something to be said for simplicity with kids because then you can see what the kids are really offering.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. That's the biggest thing. Like I think as I was saying before, Brooklyn has got a brother, like a half-brother on his mum's side with her new bloke. And she's working a fair bit. Obviously with the child and stuff like that. Brooklyn, when he's with his mum, tends to spend a lot of time on his iPad. Which I'm not. Like, I agree. I think this day and age, kids need to have some technology. Like, it's kind of in their DNA these days. They're going to have extra digits on their thumbs soon, I reckon, to make it faster to text. But soon he knows, as soon as he comes with me, iPads with his mum. We're out doing real life kind of things.
Yeah.
And he used to actually, when I lived in Melbourne, I would have him week on, week off before I was at kinder. He would actually not want to come. Like he would chuck the biggest tantrums and it was so disheartening for me because he couldn't take any technology. From when he was, I think, 1.5 to 2, he didn't have his dummy with me and my partner at the time, which it was his stepmom. and he would eat different foods and stuff like that. But he knew as soon as he would go back to my mum's, his mum's or his other nan's on his mum's side, he would have a dummy in his mouth. Yeah. He could eat biscuits. He could eat shit food, all he wanted. And it was so disheartening because we would get him a step forward and then as soon as he would go back down there, it was just two steps back. So I've always been trying to do the...
It's got to be tough when you realize that your part, you've got to be the whole part, the whole positive part of the equation.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than
right.
kind of go, oh, yeah, well, we can cheat a bit here and cheat a bit there. You go, yeah, but if all the cheating's already done.
Yeah.
But it is how it goes. I mean, it can be worse.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another way you can look at that, though, too. Like, maybe when kids have to compartmentalize and go, like, with grandma, I behave like this. With mum, it's a bit like this. With dad, it's different. You could make an argument to say that that's teaching them. It might be hard for you guys because you have to, you know, come up against them being moody because they don't have the technology. But in a way, it's preparing them for the fact that the world is full of different roles you have to play, and that you can't be all this all the time, and that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so yeah.
Then perhaps some resilience can come from that, as difficult as it probably is for him to adjust all the time. Oh. Like my old man's quite different to my mum, and I behave differently with each of them in a way, and that's kind of good. It means I get different perspectives, you know?
Yeah, yeah, cool. Mm. Yeah, that's exactly, like now these days, as soon as he sees me, he runs up, gives me a massive hug. It's not a big, he knows he's leaving his iPad and he doesn't care because he knows he loves drawing. Like the other day I went and bought him a big pack of pens, bought him a couple of books, a folder to keep all his good ones in. We're sitting there drawing comics. He told me he wanted to, I asked him when we were around the campfire what he wanted to do when he was older, and he said he wanted to work for Nickelodeon.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he's just his drawing's bloody incredible. The other day, I think we touched on it about he actually done a drawing for my brand YNR, and he done like the YNR drew a little skateboard and just skate fast, had the S backwards on the
even
that
cooler.
Fast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He went to fix it and I was like, no. And I just digitalized it all, put it in color. And we ended up, I picked him up from school because obviously I'm not going to reap the benefits from his sick illustrations. So I said to him, I was like, so we could either, you could have the money from it all, or we could give it to other kids that need and give it to a charity. And that was it was kind of a trick question. It was just kind of see if I was doing my job. Yeah. He was either going to give me the right answer or get a massive lecture. And I was stoked because he just goes, look, 2 seconds, he goes, oh, I think I want to give it to other kids that need it. And we ended up raising like $500 for,
that's so good.
Yeah, called Kids Undercover, which is incredible. Yeah. But yeah, and also about the resilience thing that you were talking about. I feel like that's a big thing that I dealt with when I was younger, always, I guess, feeling like I never fit in to anything, especially with moving up to Queensland and moving back, having to fit into a crowd. I was always I thought I had to be cool. I thought I had to be cool. So I was always kind of faking it until I made it. But then the diehard people of that little clique I was trying to, they just could smell me coming from a mile away.
Oh, right.
But I actually come to the conclusion, it was the other day I was talking about it. I feel like that's why I can be such a chameleon these days and fit in and have so many different friend groups.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
It's because of when I was younger, just being a kid and trying to, and I didn't know that's what I was teaching myself until recently.
Yeah, yeah. I was on the periphery all the time in schools and stuff like that. And, you know, kids had like I was just a little bit too weird for them to cope with. So I had like...
Story of my life.
So some of the like in-crowd people would be my friend, but they wouldn't tell anyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Which was painful in itself. It was painful in itself that they would then pretend they didn't like you when you were there. But all the way through, even the bullies would be my friend at some point, so they were dealing with their own inability to cope with embraced a freak is what I had to try and do. Like I just, I did all the stuff that made me both interesting and frightening, I suppose, and freakish, you know, doing arts and dance and theatre and different things. But I think you're right. In the long run, you go, when you get through all your hardships and your fucking self-medicating with booze and drugs that I went through, ultimately, you know, you come up, you come out with some good insights.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 210%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell me about your brand, because that's a great name.
It's going really well at the moment. The best it's gone. I'm just printed some stuff up last night. Printed up some more today for the spring collection. But
clothes and stuff, right?
Yeah, just clothing and that. I'm going into hardware. I've just kind of made a prototype for something cool. It's not, I wouldn't call it revolutionizing skateboard.
Spoiler. It's very cool. I've seen
but
the,
doing,
I've seen the proto.
But,
can't talk.
Doing something cool with skateboarding is what I'm going for.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to.
Surely people are into that a bit more now with the hipsters paved the way with kind of not big brands, you know, like with people being more interested in small handmade or kind of, you know, not mass produced stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm stoked on. I've kind of feel like I've created a community. For me, it's not about the money. Yeah. It's just doing what I continue to like want to do, and once again show Brooklyn he can just follow his dreams and do something cool that he enjoys and that's how he can be happy with it, not build something up until it's something and then you're happy, because I feel like that's never the case with it all.
But
and especially the handmade stuff, like that's how I actually before that I was doing youth work. That's always kind of been a big passion. Like I was doing youth work through skate park, and then I done my first done some lessons off my own back, made some money, and then bought my first round of shirts. And then tried to print them up myself and realized it's actually a lot harder than it bloody looks when I stuffed 15 shirts out of.
And you got to hold your brand to a certain quality.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So that's how I got into screen printing, and now I'm doing that full time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and running my brand on the side. So it's pretty crazy. Like just to think. I've just kind of always had that little thing in my head that's kind of made me push for it. And I think trying to always impress people to a certain point got me to that.
Yeah.
Always searching for some kind of validation or something. But now it's
makes
just
you creative.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's such a big bonus in jumping in young, because you get to live in your car without without stigma, because it's young and adventurous.
It's hip.
You
it's
get
cool.
to yeah, exactly. exactly. You get to do all this stuff. And
man, teaching kids what's important is so important these days, because the world's so full of fucking
drongos.
Superficial shit too. It's all
mass-produced
crap, and then they get on the internet and social media and feel sort of like they're worthless. Like giving them all that stuff that's valuable, like being able to tell that human connection's what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's one thing that Chris, who's a youth worker, who was on the show, drummer, punk drummer kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's one thing I took away, or plenty of things I took away from his thing, but was that he works on building sites and everything. And there's one thing one thing they never say is, I wish I'd worked harder. I wish I'd worked more hours. Every one of them says, I should have just fucking.
Yeah, exactly.
I shouldn't have done that. There was this thing about having the bigger house and the better thing and the jet ski and competitive and, you know, maybe a bit of influence from the mother and the competitive.
Can't spend any time with the kids, and you're in cats in the cradle territory then.
Yeah, and that's the whole reason I'm more stoked about the community.
You
and
get one crack
rather
at
than,
it.
It's just like I'm stoked. Keep coming back to fucking. I'm stoked, man. Like it's so good. Like I'm just so happy. I'm trying to actually. My mum kind of sleeps today and stuff like that, and I've been getting a bit pissed off with her because she doesn't do. She'll sleep all day and doesn't do much for herself. I'm like, man, like you just gotta get out there and do influence other things for especially. I don't want to be sitting there trying to influence my mum to go out and enjoy her life. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
it's got to be hard.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like
Our oldies are old.
Yeah,
our oldies. So it was like, well,
the kids become the parents.
They'll do what they do now, and there's no way of influencing them.
Yeah,
we just have to wipe the asses from here on in.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Sorry, Mum. hey, guys, I'm going to have to go. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. We're nearly out of town. I've got one before you get going. we're going to wind up with a question for Jaden. If you had to put a new S bend in your sink, would you get when you went to Bunnings? Would you?
Yeah, how are you going to word this, Derek?
I don't know. I haven't thought it through. Would you pick it up and would you? And it had the little prong on it to join the dishwasher or washing machine into in the S bend. Would you know to drill that out before using it for the for the washing machine?
Or would you assume that the pipe went straight in like a fucking pipe should?
Oh, nah. I think I'd put two and two together, to be honest.
Yeah. But would you look in the little hole that you want to use to put your dishwasher in?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the problem is once it's attached, it's under the sink, so it's not as easy to look in.
I don't want to get into your domestics right now. I feel a bit pressured. Hey.
I'm desperately trying to hang on to
something. He's not in the room, so you've got to go to my side.
I've actually got a good budding story. So this one time, it was a mate's birthday. I knocked off work, and I was flying out to New Zealand the next day. And when I was going to my friend's birthday, they said, can you bring a beer bong? I said, yeah, cool. No worries. I went into Bunnings and I grabbed the funnel and I grabbed the tube.
Yeah.
I grabbed the little nozzle and I got some little twistable straps and I made this beer bong in Bunnings and just took it to the counter as a thing. And he goes, ding, ding, ding. And he goes, big night tonight. I'm like, I'm flying to New Zealand in the morning. And no word of a lie, I had my missus like, I woke up to her rattling me, the taxi's out the front, get up. And that was the only time I can remember being woke up, but apparently she woke me up.
Oh, my God. So you actually assembled it in Bunnings?
Assembled it in Bunnings. And it was impressive.
You should have told them that they could buy the rights to sell it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You could make them up for
it.
Today's workshop.
How to be a pisshead.
I remember wandering, trudging through a little jungle on a Thailand island somewhere, looking for the right bit of bamboo to try and knock into a didgeridoo because I was playing didgeridoo at the time, and I was teaching every pissed person in this fucking restaurant how to do the circular breathing, but there was no didgeridoo to do it with. So I went trudging through and I found a little building site where the dudes were building huts. And I'm going, and I got this bit of bamboo in my hand. I said, can you do me a favor and cut the hand signal? They didn't have any English. So I'm going, can you cut it here and cut it here? About like 5 foot or four or 5 foot long. And they're going, ha, ha, ha. When I said, can you cut it? You're making the hand signal. And they're going, aha. And they made the bong, bong symbol going, ha, ha, ha. They were having a laugh. I'm going, no, 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 that long. And they're going, no, no, here. And they're really going, no, no, this is the ideal spot.
Yeah,
and I'm going,
yeah.
No, 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 here. And they're going, whoa. You're making the gnarliest serious bong. I knocked out and I held didgeridoo playing lessons in the middle of Thailand. Anyway,
all right.
So that's fantastic. Glad we sorted that out. All right, Dan, I hope the family's well.
Oh, yeah, it'll be sorted out. Well, nice to meet you, Jaden.
Yeah, you too.
Good luck with everything.
See you around soon. Bye.
See ya.
Well, it's just us now, but we better wind it up or we're going to be in trouble with the boss.
Yeah, D.
Hey, thanks a million for coming on.
That's all right.
This positivity I'm going to be riding on for weeks, I reckon.
Sick, I hope so.
And our audience, I'd suggest.
Let anyone ride the... Stoked wave.
Yeah,
I'm stoked.
It's all get snowed. Get onto your look out for it. Do you have to be in the underground to get hold of it?
Not at all. I'm just on Instagram, yeah.nar. But
GNAR.
Yep. So yeah, just on there.
I'll link it to the show notes.
So yeah, cool. Just having a bit of fun with it.
Yeah.
As I said, building a community. It's cool.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right, take it easy.
Easy. No worries. Thanks for having me.
From the Town Ace Massive. Oh, Awesome podcast was recorded at Castaway Studios in Collingwood. Here, we provide affordable, accessible, professional podcasting production facilities to the full range of podcasters, all the way from basic studio hire right through to full season production packages. You can get us on castawaycollingwood@gmail.com or just look up Castaway Studios on all the social medias.